Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey!
Hello.
Happy Saturday. We back. And we have a guest, as you can tell. So, hey, how's everyone doing?
I'm doing great.
Yes.
Yes, doing absolutely wonderful.
I love it. How are you doing, Toya?
I'm doing pretty good. A little tired from the week and having the four kids, you know, the Moore household, they keep it live all the time. So, yes, I am here and excited to be here.
I love it. Good stuff. Huh. Well, y'all, it's the end of another week. So we're excited that we made it this far and we're excited to be with y'all. So we're continuing the Becoming series and we have an amazing guest today. So I will turn it over to Toya to introduce her.
Yes, I have the pleasure of introducing Apostle Helena Bailey. She's a native of Sussex County who received her public education in the Indian River School District. She is a graduate of Sussex Central Senior High. She received a Bachelor of Biblical Studies from the Logos Christian College and Graduate School in Jacksonville, Florida. She has also completed her Master's in Biblical Studies from the Enlightened Bible Institute in Houston, Delaware. She is married to Hayward Bailey. Together, they have two children, Marcus and Crystal. They also have 13 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. Her quest for a new challenge led her to the Seaford School County in Seaford, Delaware. Her responsibility as a Seaford Middle School was with the Life Skills Program. She enjoyed teaching and being in the classroom. On February 13, 2003, she resigned her position to become a full-time in her pastoral duties at Kingdom Life Family Ministries Incorporated in Millsboro, Delaware. She has been pastoring for 23 years. She was commissioned to the office of apostle on May 6th, 2017. So welcome, Apostle Helena.
Thank you. I'm excited about being here. And we are now 24 years into pastoring. So thank you.
Lord. Congratulations. All of the above. That is a long resume right there. So God has been faithful.
Absolutely. And we're grateful that he has been.
Amen.
Couldn't have done it without him.
We like to do a little segment called What Had Happened Was so that we can kind of connect the dots and let people know how you are connected to the BE family. So Apostle Helena is another product of our plug, if you will, Latrinka Lee. And so if you could share with us a little bit about how you know the Lees.
How I know Latrinka?
Mm-hmm.
I met Latrinka when she was a little girl. I can remember her mom and I were good friends, and her mother and my husband were also classmates, and we kind of crossed paths sometime back. I'm sure you have noticed that I've been married for a long time. So we met her when she was like a young adolescent. And it was a privilege to watch her grow and mature. And then as she became an adult, we where she was fellowshipping, we had the opportunity to go and to be able to share the gospel, I believe, on 3 occasions. So it was wonderful to reconnect again. And then when she comes home, we had the opportunity to see each other at various events. So that's how I know her.
That is awesome. Look, you know a lot then, because if you know Latrinka since she was a little girl, you might be able to give us the scoop. You got a funny story or two you want to tell us about Latrinka?
I can remember her being very energetic and an outgoing individual, and always having this beautiful smile. Her smile was just contagious. That's who she was. And she has not done an awful lot of changing, except for maybe getting younger instead of older.
There you go. I love it. I was going to say more of the same. Still very energetic, still very outgoing.
Yes.
Love Latrinka. Yes. One day, y'all, we're going to get her in front of the camera. But in the meanwhile, you can hit her up in the chat. Wow. Okay?
And Latrinka has such a servant's heart, her inner. I'm curious, was she like that too as a teenager? Always helping?
Absolutely. Her energy matches her heart. And she was always one of these people who was always willing to help in any capacity, and always compassionate and having a heart to make sure that everybody else was okay. That was who she was. Mm-hmm.
That is the truth.
And I know that she's still that individual today.
Yes,
she is. I know that.
And that's why I love her. That's why I love her so.
Yes. Oh, shout out to Latrinka. We love you, Latrinka. I love it. All right. Well, we will pass it on. I'll pass it on over to the origin story.
Yes. Apostle Helena Bailey, we like to give our guests an opportunity to share a little bit about their family, what it was like growing up from wherever you're from. Well, I think you're, I don't know if you grew up in Delaware, but
I did.
Okay, awesome. So if you could share a little bit about what it was like growing up and a little bit about your family.
Actually, I grew up in a town called Millsboro, Delaware.
Okay.
Millsboro. And I lived in a community called Riverview, which was the river was actually next to the community that we lived in. My life was very, very, how can I put it? I was, my mom had me at the age of 42. My father was 51 years old when I was born. So I was a spoiled brat. My mother did not work. She was a person that stayed at home. My father was the person that did work outside of the home, and he was a truck driver. And so we did not know that we were actually poor. I did not know that until I became an adult. My life was fun. As I said, I was a little girl who had a lot of hair at one time and loved to just play and have fun. And my family, my mother especially, was somebody who was always compassionate and was always doing something in the community for others. Amen. And I think that's where I got my hand of help from, because I saw her do that. So growing up for us was a challenge, but I did not know that until after I became an adult. Because again, as I said, we had holidays that we celebrated. Christmas was Christmas. You know, we ate, she provided clothes for us. I attended school, you know, actually was the first graduate out of my family from high school as well as college. So it was really a what I call a wonderful time compared to what we're doing, or should I say the family represents today. Yeah. So that's where I grew up at.
That's amazing. It's wonderful how parents can shield children and not even let children know, like, that struggling financially. And have such a beautiful family in spite of financial challenges. So that's beautiful to hear. And I know that you are in, you are a pastor and in ministry. When did you first start developing a personal relationship with God? Was that something that happened that, like, as a child or your teenage years or as an adult? Like, when do you, what would you say you really started developing a personal relationship with God?
It was actually in my teenage years. I began to develop a relationship with God. I met someone who was in our community, upstanding older woman who was very well respected, and she started to take us to church with her. Of course, then my mother would send me to church anyway. You know, we went to church on Sundays. And so with going to church with as we called her mother then, we called her mother. And so I became exposed to salvation, what salvation was. I began to learn about the scripture. I began to learn about what it meant to be chaste. And I began to learn about the giftings and all of that. So it started at the age of, I want to say I was about 12. And I can remember as when I was 13, I actually did my first sermon as a teenager then. Wow. And so from there, I can't tell you that I remained connected to those early years, but I did return.
Amen.
Yeah. So here I am. So it was in my early teens when I began to develop a relationship. But it wasn't until I became an adult that I found my way back at the age of 21. I actually came back to the Lord and began to be a servant, you know, and begin to serve. And so, and I've been serving ever since.
Wow. Did you know at 21 that you would be called to do ministry, or you just were like, I just know I need Jesus at this point?
I knew that. I did not know that. I just knew that I needed Jesus in my life. You know, I knew that you said something earlier that living in a household where your mom shielded you from poverty, but then there was other things in life that she couldn't shield me from.
Yeah.
I actually had a lot of poor self-esteem. And so that was something that was great in my life, unbeknown to people, because if you ever met me, you would have never known that, because I actually made other people smile while I was unhappy inside. From poor self-esteem to not liking my image, to not having self-confidence. And so I knew that with those three things, they were overwhelming for me, to the point that they started to challenge my thoughts. And my thoughts sometimes was, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not pretty enough. Maybe I'm just here. And but when I accepted Jesus Christ, I soon learned that he had purpose for my life. I did not know then that he would choose me to pastor. I really did not, because my heart was so overwhelmed by just having him come in to my life and to bring about that change, which has caused me to be who I am today.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Wow. Can you talk a little bit about that journey with self-esteem and self-image and
how
it may have impacted you growing up? And I would even say how it may have impacted how you related to the opposite sex growing up.
Absolutely. Poor self-esteem does something to your image. Mm-hmm. I now learn that I know that it's the strategy of the enemy.
Yes.
Whom loves to attack our self-esteem as well as our self-image, because he knows that we are created in his likeness, in God's likeness, and we have his image. So when he began to attack me in that area, I struggled. Mm-hmm. I struggled. I reached a place of depression. I reached a place of, well, is it worth living? Maybe I need to take my life. I contemplated suicide. And I can remember when I was in this place of about to take my life, I heard a voice. And I heard the voice said, don't do that.
Wow.
And I heard it clearly. He said, I love you. Mm. And I love you just the way you are. And that had a profound change in me, one that I still advocate today, because I do a lot of things with women. And one of the things that we talk about is your self-esteem, your self-confidence, and your self-image. Because it's far more better to talk about it than to carry it inwardly.
Yeah.
And I learned that if I find a safe place, and I did, and I found somebody that whom I could confide in, and they were able to help me and walk me through it.
Yeah.
And here I am today. I'm able to actually advocate or articulate to others that there is.
Yeah.
There is freedom for you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that, being so transparent and vulnerable, Apostle Helena Bailey. Thank you so much, because someone out there needs to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like women, we are very hard on ourselves, and we struggle with self-image in different seasons of our lives, from years and even in motherhood. When you, I know I've struggled after having four kids, and like the weight up and down. And sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, what happened? Like, you know.
Then, yes, I do understand. And then when you're getting older, you want to know, where did everything go? that you once had, where did it go? Yes. And you're so right about that. You know, every phase of your life, I think that we have to be mature enough to know that the enemy will always present himself with our self-image. You'll always come with our self-esteem and our self-confidence. But when we know who we are and whose we are, then you're able to you're able to grow.
Yeah.
And you no longer, as I share with people all the time, it's a stepping stone for you. It's not your tombstone. You know, so many times in life, people make things, you know, because they don't know, it becomes so drastic to them that it honestly causes them to drop out of life. And I'm not talking about in the physical sense, but I am talking about in the mental sense and your emotional.
Yeah.
You know? I learned that it was a stepping stone for me. And it was because of God, because of Him.
Amen. Whew, thank you for sharing that. I think oftentimes so many people, and that's one of the reasons that this podcast or this platform exists, is because I feel like so many women suffer in silence and, you know, don't realize that other people, other women in particular, are going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing or something similar. And so just you sharing that is setting people free, you know, and then especially when you're dealing with like low self-esteem or depression or suicidal thoughts, like the enemy wants to keep you isolated and wants to keep you silent. And so breaking that silence and sharing with someone, you mentioned you were able to share with someone to help you through, like that right there is half the battle, like exposing and being honest about where you are so that people can help you, reaching out. So thank you for sharing that so much.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, so you entered the ministry or rededicated at 21. Mm-hmm. How and when did you meet your husband?
Actually, we grew up in the same neighborhood.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I lived on one street and he lived maybe three streets over, and we walked to school together to and from.
My goodness.
And we were friends. Tell we it. Were very, very good friends. I think one of the things that really is very, very prevalent today and has strength to our marriage is the fact that we were friends then and we're still friends now.
Come on.
And then the other thing was to be able to communicate. He was a great communicator. And so was I. So was, you know, I. And so I think those things alone were, they made me attracted to him. Mm. And vice versa, he, myself for him. So today, I share a lot about marriages. I do a lot of marriage counseling. I do marriage workshops. And I talk about the fact that you need to know him or her before we go down the aisle.
Yeah.
You need to take the time that you need to date and to date with discretion, especially if you are a Christian. Mm. There are things that I believe that we should do, and we should do it from the perspective that we are Christians and that we are mature and that we know what his expectations are of us. So many times, you know this as well as I do, most people don't know each other. They simply know each other by the bed. And you can't build a relationship off of a sexual experience. You can't. It certainly doesn't work. So I knew him as a friend, and I know him as a friend now. We're still communicating. 47 years. We just celebrated 47 years, September the 17th of last month. And so would I do it over again? Absolutely. I would. Because we have invested in our marriage. Something that people don't do. We invest in it. And so for that alone, I'm happy and I'm grateful. We're at a place now that I can start a sentence and he can finish it. Or we can get ready to say the same things, you know, and that comes with time. And it comes with knowing each other. And not only that, respecting each other.
Mm.
Something that this generation doesn't know a lot about, you know. So I'm grateful to have him as my husband, my king. I call him my Denzel Washington.
Yes.
All right now.
And I'm sure Latriga could tell you that, her and her sister Natasha. We said, where's Denzel?
Woo! I love it. I love it.
Well, we're still having fun.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're still having fun. We love God. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. But we love our R&B. We love our time.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I say that about R&B, let me clarify that. It's no raunchy.
Okay.
It ain't no twerking.
Uh-huh.
It's simply from the old school.
Classic R&B.
Come on. There it is. Okay.
All right. I got you.
We love all of that.
You done took us right on into becoming. So I'm nodding my head and clapping my hands because my husband and I were friends for literally almost 10 years before we started dating. And so at first I was like, okay, God, like, really, really, you gonna do this? I've been out here waiting on my Boaz and you right in front of me this whole time. Really, we doing this? But
yes.
I'm so grateful for that foundation because you said it. It's really about friendship, communication, and actually liking the person.
Key right there.
Spend the rest of your life with. So
key right there. Key right there.
How, I'm curious because you said y'all, you know, grew up together in the same neighborhood, walking to and from school. So like, when or how did the romantic feelings develop? Like, was it like a light switch one day and you were like, oh my gosh, he's cute? Attracted or what?
Actually, let me say before Christ, BC,
uh-huh.
Before Christ, we were dating and seeing each other.
Okay. BC.
but we were also living together.
Wow.
We had lived together for about 5 years.
Wow.
That's 50 years when I rededicated my life back to God.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 21. And so when I rededicated my life back to God, I said to him that, you know, we could no longer keep living the way that we have been, mm-hmm. because now we're under new management and there's some new expectations.
All right, now.
He has of us. And so I said, if you love me and you want me to be your wife, then you'll marry me. And this is what I did. I didn't pressure him. That was my statement to him. Mm-hmm. I moved out of the apartment that we were living in.
Mm.
And I went back home with my mother.
Mm.
And I want to say I moved out like in summer, in June. So like in September, he came. Mm. And he asked for my hand in marriage.
Mm.
And I said, yes.
Wow.
And so when you put 47 and 5 together,
yeah.
We've known each other for a very long time. I'm 67. He is 68.
Wow.
He'll turn 69 December the 17th of this year. So 50 wow. years, we might say that we've been together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But you Absolutely. Said the standard. You said the standard
Absolutely.
And said this is what we're doing or what we're not going to do. And
that's true, yeah. And yeah. And I think that when you, not knowing that I would be where I'm at today, because
mm-hmm.
we none can see our future, but I do believe that there are things that God does and we may not really know the full picture of it.
Yeah.
When I look at that was, I was in a place where I knew that with us not being married and then sleeping together, I knew that that was not going to be pleasing to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also with that comes overwhelming condemnation.
Mm. Wow.
You know, it did for me. So I couldn't handle that. And so I decided that the best thing to do was to do it right.
Amen.
And that's what we did.
Wow.
That's such a powerful testimony.
Absolutely. Especially when I'm one of those people who are doing marriage counseling, who do weddings, who do divorce counseling, and you see there's a whole different mindset of what marriage is.
Yeah.
There's a whole different mindset of what dating is. There's mm-hmm. a whole different mindset of what it means to actually have sex and being a Christian. As a whole different mindset.
Wow. That testimony, though, is for that purpose. Like
absolutely. Absolutely. And we share that. We share that in settings because, again, we have no shame in our game.
Mm-hmm.
We're too old. And I do believe that, as you said a moment ago, we're helping people.
Mm-hmm.
That's my heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, you mentioned today's dating scene is different. Let's just say, I mean, LaToya and I say this many times. We like, we're grateful we're not in these dating streets right now because it's just different. Singles out here know it too. It's different in these dating streets right now. So what advice would you give to any singles that are out here dating or desiring to get married one day?
I really believe, and I advocate this a lot, is get to know who you are.
Mm, that's good.
Get to know yourself first, by far. Mm-hmm. Those areas that we mentioned a moment ago in reference to my own self, make sure you are healed and hold in your self-esteem.
Amen.
And in your self-confidence and in your self-image. And know your own self-worth.
Mm.
A lot of young women that I meet don't know their worth. Honestly, they don't feel as if they are really anyone special. or that they have anything that is special to offer. Many of them don't feel that way. So I would encourage them to make sure that those areas in their life has been properly healed and made whole. Because if not, I'm afraid that you will subject yourself more to what your emotion says opposed to what your heart says.
Wow.
You know, and many people I see, and I do see them, they settle for their emotions. So those would be the things that I would advocate to them.
Yeah.
Know you first. By far, know your self-worth. And don't settle for less.
Amen.
And I've got some young women that they say, I'm not settling. I'm just sorry. I've had a lot of young men that come and talk to me. And, you know, we got some of our sisters that got it going on. And you know that. You guys see that. And I can tell that you guys have it going on as well. You got your own house. You got their own degrees. They got their own car. They got their own bank accounts. They can travel when they want to travel. So you're not going to bring yourself down. You know, I can remember my mother in the gospel used to say, if you have, you already have the picnic, why do you need a wiener?
That is funny.
And you know this as well as I do. We're dealing with a sexual generation. Am I right?
Yeah, we are.
And our young women are more prevalent than ever. We're not excusing the young men, but our young women. So I would say to you, know yourself first. Know your self-worth.
Good. So good.
Wow. So much wisdom.
Like 47 years.
I mean, yes. I hope you guys are out there listening.
Yes.
Know your self-worth. Do not settle for less.
Yes. Whew. Good stuff.
Earlier, when I read your bio, I know that you were in the education world. Very similar to me. I'm also education. How did you, what inspired you to transition from the education world into full-time ministry with the Kingdom Life Family Ministries?
I love being in the classroom. I must admit that. I can tell you that. But I also saw that as a young pastor and having a young congregation, I started to see their growth from the teach word and the preach word. And I also saw some other areas in the life that were lacking. I know you know this, teaching is one thing, but life skills is another. So I had a young congregation that were listening and really making adjustments to the teaching.
Amen.
Of the word of God. I don't know what happened there. Of the word of God. But I also noticed that they lacked some things when it came to life skills and how to be successful in everyday life. And when you see that, you find yourself saying, okay, I have to give more time. And if I'm on a full-time job, I'm not going to be able to spend as much time as I need. Because we minister to the total man. If you know anything about our ministry, we're just not spiritual beings, but we are concerned about your total man. And so I saw that. And I saw that it was going to require a lot more out of me. And, you know, I tried to stay as long as I could, but I knew that the growth in the church was growing. We were at one service, and there we went from having one service to a second service. And so in between that, we were working with women, we were working with children, we were working with fathers, we were working with people that were transitioning, coming out of prison. We were working with those people who had drug addictions and finding So we're very active in it. And I said, I need to be more available.
Mm.
Available first to God, but second to the people. And if you ever come in the area, people say, I'm the pastor who pastors the community. Because we do things with women. We do a program called Supporting the Issues of Women.
Mm.
And we do the back to school bashes. You know, we do after school programs. We haven't done it in a while, but we're hoping to continue that. But we're just hands on. I'm very, very well known, not to toot my own horn, but I'm well known in the community. And a lot of that has to do with the fact of being in the school district.
Mm.
And I'm ever so grateful that my relationship has been a lasting one, not just in the classroom, but even in the marketplace. And I'm happy about that.
Amen.
So Amen. That's why I left in 2003 and I've been there.
Wow.
24 years. Yeah.
You mentioned just the importance of life skills and ministering to the whole person. Like, I think oftentimes the body of Christ falls short in that area where we, mm-hmm. you know, the phrase, you're, you know, so spiritual, you're of no earthly good, if you will. But I love the fact that you actually decided to go into full-time ministry because mm-hmm. of the life skills aspect versus the, you know what I mean? It was like, I need these people to know how to apply what we've been teaching, what we've been sharing. And I think that's oftentimes a disconnect in the Christian community, especially because we can quote the scriptures, we know the songs, we know, you know, but we don't always know how to live it out on a day-to-day basis. And so
very true.
Back to the community. You know.
So very true. And I'm so grateful that I did. I don't want to run over the time, but there were many of them that didn't have a GED. They went back to school and got their GED.
Amen.
There were some of them that had dropped out of college and they went back. I have young people in my congregation who have the masters. I have one that's working on a doctorate degree. I watched them go from having a job of physical labor,
mm-hmm.
one now that they're sitting behind the desk. Some of them are now CEOs mm. of their own businesses. So when I look back in hindsight, it is important that we address the total man. And whenever I read, and I'm sure you can say this, reading the word of God, that is what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
That is what Jesus did. When I do the back to school batches, for I had it for single parents, but then the need got greater. We understood that there were a lot of parents out there that needed, so we dropped the single parents. But we bring everything that they need.
Wow.
They come. We have everything that they need, you know. And whenever I look at Jesus's life, and that's one of the things he said to me, look at my lifestyle, look at what I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was always trying to give people food.
Wow.
You meet them where they are, and then you can talk about the spiritual aspect. Mm. When you have my attention as a parent, you care about me. You care about my kids. Yeah, that's who we are.
I love that.
So good.
Thank you.
Mm. Wow.
I love just giving back to the community, and I feel like
Day
and age, I find that a lot of churches, I think, like what Maya was saying, gets used to the Sunday morning worship of Sunday school and church and sermons and mm-hmm. all those things, which are wonderful, but actually having your members like be more hands on with the mm-hmm. community, and even the pastors like being hands on and seeing them out there giving back to the community. I feel like that is so rare to see it in today's time.
It is very true, but I do believe in my heart that there's a difference between church and kingdom.
Mm, come on.
And I don't want to get into that too deep in that because I don't consider myself to be a part of a church because the church is within me.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that we're mobile, we can travel, we can go mm-hmm. anywhere. And so with the kingdom, church has, when you look at church, church is governed by the rules and traditions yeah. of men, wherein the kingdom is governed by the Holy Spirit. Meaning that this church that's living inside of me is mobile, and I can go anywhere and do what God has called me to do.
Amen.
And kingdom is about outreach, if you look at it.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
You go back to the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not excluding the Old Testament, but if you go back to the New Testament, pretty much things were held outside. There was a lot of things that was done outside.
Yes.
And I think that some folk have not grasped that concept yet.
Yeah.
To be led by the Holy Spirit. We are so mobile until we might travel to a beach on a Sunday morning. We might go to somebody's house on a Sunday morning. You may walk into my service and I may be doing a 5-point presentation on how to strategize on how we can connect more with our community. And we're getting ready to do that. Now we're actually into a new community. And so we're trying to kind of strategize
yeah.
how we're going to actually move in and do some things. And so Sunday morning, we might do praise and worship and we yeah. do prayer, but now we all are sitting around tables or at tables and we are strategizing and brainstorming. How are we going to do this and how are we going to move in? And we have almost completed what we need to do, you know?
Wow.
And so I think that that's kingdom. Kingdom doesn't look like, I say this, kingdom mm-hmm. doesn't look right to those who belong to the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not bound by rules or traditions.
Mm-hmm.
You see, my hair is orange. It's getting ready to be red.
All right.
You understand? Because I believe that that's what we should be implementing. In the meantime, you're winning the people.
I love it. I love it. Kingdom is outreach.
It's key right now. That's what it is. Church is inward.
Mm-hmm.
You know this. I know you know that. You know, yeah. I choose to be kingdom. Because when you're in the kingdom, kingdom keeps you free. And it also keeps you in the divine will of God, which was always his will for us to be mobile.
Amen.
And to share the gospel.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. I want to ask, and we're getting ready to wrap up. I have one more question after this, but I want to ask because we know ministry is hard. You know, especially when you are doing it God's way, because the enemy does not like it. And so what are some challenges that you've overcome and how have you been able to overcome them? So what are some challenges you've experienced and how have you been able to overcome them?
My first challenge was I'm a female. This is a predominantly male profession.
Mm-hmm.
But I adopted the song that James Brown used to sing. It's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman in it.
Amen. Amen.
That's true.
that has always been my motto for me personally. But challenges, yeah, you're met with a lot of them. By far, the first one is you are a female.
Mm.
The second one is you're a female of color.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the third one is there's not a lot of respect sometimes that you get from males. And that does not necessarily mean within your local congregation.
Mm-hmm.
It can also mean abroad.
Oh, wow.
And we're seeing more and more of that. But I've learned to just say, hey, he called me. He chose me.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was sharing with somebody today. I said, he wrote me in.
Amen.
And he wrote you in long before we got here. He had already wrote us in. And so with that being said, I feel like nobody can erase me.
Wow.
And that is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've learned to make my challenges stepping stones.
Yeah.
And not my tombstone, meaning I learn by them. I grow by them.
My Lord.
I move by them. I interact by them. That is who I am. And to serve in this capacity, yeah, you've had some times. I've had some times when I cried. I've had some times when I felt unappreciative. I've had some times where I've had to reprimand. Yeah. I've had some times where people have whispered and talked and said things. But the overall, it's been a joy. It's been a joy to serve. And what overwhelms my heart, I don't want to get emotional, is that he would take a nobody.
Mm.
You know, somebody from poverty, somebody who had a long list of things that were wrong. And today, I'm his servant, serving in the capacity of a pastor. And I'm humbled. I'm humbled by it. Very much so. And I'm humble. Yes. Wow. And I thank God. And I love you guys. And thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that when we come to Georgia, we must connect.
There you go. You got some more people to connect with here in Georgia. So we here.
Absolutely. But
now,
yeah.
We have one more question.
Sure.
I want to ask, I mean, you've been dropping gems left and right since we started. So if you've given plenty words of wisdom, but I do want to ask if you have any final words of wisdom that you want to share, either regarding marriage or ministry.
The both of them go hand in hand. If your marriage is not effective, your ministry won't be. I think sometimes... I share this a lot. I said, people forget. You focus more on the church house, but you forget your house is in view.
Yes.
Of heaven.
Your first ministry. That's yeah.
By far. When I think about it, I would rather choose home. Home is where the real me is.
Hmm.
You know, home is where he is really processing some things in my life that I don't want nobody to see. But certainly they have become strength to me. And so that when I'm in the public side, now I can share and I can share confidently.
Amen.
So I think that, having a place that is a haven, having a place that is secure, having a place that I can come in and just be who I am. Not that I'm one of those people who by no means put it on. You know, some folk turn it on, turn it off. I don't. What you see today is what you'll see on tomorrow. You'll see that when I come to Georgia, you know, wherever I am. And I think it has a lot to do with my home life. And I think it has a lot to do with the head of this house, which is my husband, who is the head, who provides and protects, you know, and actually is the priest. He sets the foundation.
Amen.
But while I'm able to do what I need to do, even here.
Yeah.
So with here being the way that it is, whenever I leave here and go elsewhere, I'm able to do even more. So it would have to be marriage by far.
Amen.
Because ministry, sometime or another, I'm going to retire from ministry, but I'm still going to have marriage. I'm still going to be married.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to be happily married.
Amen.
You know, I share a lot. I'm grateful to have somebody who covers me emotionally.
We got
a lot of people that can buy houses and cars and give you all those things you so desire. But what have you done if you don't know me emotionally? Can you tell when I'm having a bad day? He can tell when I'm having a bad day. He can tell when I'm off. You know, so which one of those would you rather have? You rather have somebody who covers you emotionally or somebody who gives to you financially?
Wow.
And so I choose marriage because he takes great care of me and I'm proud of him and I love him.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Whew. So do you have anything else before we hit noble character?
I am processing all of these nuggets of wisdom that she is sharing with us. So thank you so much, Apostle Helena Bailey. You have been amazing on today's show, and I am going to transition us into our noble character segment.
Okay.
The segment that we normally allow our guests to choose a woman that has inspired them along their journey, someone that is doing amazing things in their community. Today, we want to recognize you, Apostle Helena Bailey, as a woman of noble character for the things that you are doing.
Thank
in
you.
Your community and how you are inspiring others to go out there. In the community that you are demonstrating and being kingdom minded and all the things that you're doing, which is amazing. I'm so thankful for Latrinka suggesting you as a guest on Becoming Eva. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for choosing me. I'm honored and humbled. Thank you.
Wow. We pray God's continued blessing over your ministry. I'm sure countless people that have already been impacted by it and that will continue to be impacted by it. So we just pray that God continues to cover and keep you in every way, because we know ministry is no joke, that he continues to have his hand upon your marriage, upon your family, and just that you will continue to overflow in, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, emotionally, all of it. We pray that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And I received that. And I pray the same for your podcast, that it will just reach places that it's never gone before.
Amen. Thank
That's
you.
That's what I pray.
Wow. Well, it has been a pleasure, an absolute
Thank
pleasure.
You. Whew. All the things. It's nobody's book. It's what I've learned. Through life. Yeah, you know, some people go and get people's books and they go and get, no, this is what Helena learned.
You might need to get one, write one though, called Helena Learn, because there's a lot there. I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm listening. I've had that shared before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. And I pray God's blessings upon each of you.
Absolutely. Well, we'll close out.
All right.
Couple friendly reminders for those of you watching. Definitely like, subscribe, follow. You can get merch. Toya's repping our dress. If you want to get that online, check it out. We got baby stuff. We've got totes. We got water bottles, mugs, all that great stuff. And definitely tell people about the podcast. So you can like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, all that great stuff at Becoming Eva today. So we are just honored to have you, Apostle Helena Bailey. And yeah, we look forward to connecting when you're in Georgia.
I look forward to it too as well. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so very much.
All right.
Have a great evening.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.